Accession number 28896, Reel 11.
Mr. Blewitt, Reel 11. When did you move to Scarborough?
Well, it was about January, February, March. Being on about March, following year, 1941.
What was the reason for this move?
Well, the Kirkbank, the HQ, the people at HQ, they had moved to Scarborough, and we were just more or less joining up with them again. So we never went back to Kirkbank. We just went straight from there to Scarborough.
Where were your billets in Scarborough?
In Scarborough, it was a good billet. It was an ex-convalescent home, the Stores convalescent home. Massive building, right behind the railway station, I always remember. It was because I went back there later years to see. Changed considerably, but when we were there, it was just a big building, plenty of rooms, and right behind the railway station. Couldn't be better. The workshops detachment, although with us, every morning they used to just walk across the bridge to another part of Scarborough, where they'd taken over a garage, and they used to march there. We used to, we had a big garage where the lorries used to be. Of course, by this time we had the modern wagons. We had.
You'd have the army lorries.
The army issue, OYs and QL. And one of them, we had a lad called, forget his name offhand, but he used to look after his lorry like it was his own car, you know. Polish it up and everything. And he decided he would get a move to the Royal Army Ordnance Corps and put in for a transfer. And he went, and by good luck, I got his lorry. So, and I remember before he went, he took me out. Now, you do this and you do that. And I said, you're all right, Bill, I'll sort it. And then the very first day I went out, I don't know whether it was a trap or what, going along the, it was over the moors, and it was a burning smelling in the engine. Turned it up, and all this oil, and the crank's cover on the top, the bolts had been loosened. I always thought somebody had laid a trap for me there, and so I had to get it cleaned up and whatnot. When I realised what had happened, that it was all right, I always kept an eye on it after that, but that was the only incident. But it was good. We just went the usual things, going around to the ration store and then distributing it round about. There was quite a few AKAK batteries round the Scarborough there. And there was also quite a few of them filling sandbags along the front. You know, we're expecting the invasion, so there was sandbags along the front, which we didn't have to bother with.
Had civilians been moved from the front?
Sorry?
Had civilians been moved out of houses along the front?
No, not that I know of. They were just the same, but we had these sandbags along the front, and there was also one or two barbed wire net. Off the beach, the beaches were all barbed wire and everything. You couldn't go on the beach.
We restricted the beaches.
Yeah, you couldn't go on the beach. But still, people used to come down on the train. You'd see them coming down on the train just to sort of wander along the front. It hadn't hit home, I don't think, how dangerous it would have been. For all you know, there was a mood in the air. They were expecting invasion, but they didn't seem to take it as seriously as what maybe should have done. So they...
Where was the depot in relation to where your trucks and your
I'm just
were?
Trying to think there.
Anyway, the routine was the same.
Well, the routine was the same. Go at the depot, get loaded up with stuff, go out to... we were just like glorified groceries, grocery vans, that's what it was. except in, when you have to move personnel from, they used to get moved around, I think, from one part of the country to another. When I say the country, that area, searchlights, detachments and things like that. But all in all, we're just delivering.
And again, how would you get on with the civilian population?
Oh, great, great, again. The only thing I remember was there were shops and everything, and the cafes. I remember one place, Giacanelli, they called him. Obviously Italian. He'd been over in this country for donkey's years. I remember when Italy had come into the war, you know, Mussolini had declared war. Somebody put his window through, you know, big. And there were half of them were saying, serve him right, like, and all that, like, you know. But I mean, he'd been in England for donkey's years, like, it was funny, like, going back and jumping ahead. There was he had a little lad sat at the desk where he used to pay. I'm talking about when you paid about ninepence for beans on toast or something like that. And they used to take the money. And years and years later, he was the mayor at Hartlepool, Scarborough. Little fat bloke, Giacanelli. I seen him on the telly and I thought, But, I mean, there was picture houses, there was dance halls. And it was quite good as far as we were concerned.
You'd be getting used to the new army lorries that you were
doing. Oh, yeah.
What was your opinion of them as quality and efficiency and so forth?
Very good. I couldn't fault them. They're all wise. The QLs were a bit top heavy, but the all wise themselves, 3 tonners. They were all supposed to be 3 tonners. And there was no problems with them. You still had your routine, your daily tasks to do. Your monthly inspections, and then you used to have to go to workshops where you went through them with a fine tooth comb, making sure that you'd done all your tasks. If you hadn't, you were for it, but it was all right, you know.
Did you have increased duties other than driving in Scarborough?
No, it was, again, we had guards to do, but as long as that was it, we didn't have any... we were expecting to be hauled in to be doing sandbags and stuff like that, but they kept... I don't know which company did it. I know it was more or less down to the artillery, you know, artillery companies. I think there was two... There was a one besides us. I know there was a big artillery company at Scalby, S-C-A-L-B-Y, Barracks, and used to see them. There was a bit of rivalry there when they used to come into town to dances and whatnot. Like, but again, no battles, anything like that. You maybe get one or two drunks, but they argue, they toss them between themselves, but never seen no. No arguments about it.
And you weren't involved in regular drills or marching? Or
again, we used to get away with murder as far as drills were concerned. I always remember, we got, at that time, we got a detachment of us. Had to go to a camp called Paul Point, just outside Hull, an artillery camp there. Again, about a section, about 20 of us in a Nissen hood. It was a proper camp. I used to feel sorry for the lads there, because they have to do stand twos and stand rounds and ups and downs. And they used to, round about Hull, they were getting it pretty heavy, you know, air raids and whatnot. And these lads were out stand to on a night in the morning. And
this was the other members of the camp, not yourselves?
We were just attached. These were artillery lads. But we were attached to them for all purposes, except guards. We didn't do the guards again. See, they did their own guards. It was more or less, we had to keep going up to the ammo dump and getting shells and whatnot for the guns that were coming around. It was a terrible camp. was the worst food I'd ever tasted in the army. Again, if you got a good cook, it was good, but you get some that it was just a job to them. And that was where we got the riot act read out to us. Like I said, when you weren't on, you went in the dinner time as usual, whenever. The hours were a bit different on account of the stamp twos and whatnot, but when it was dinner time, you'd go in. It was the same old thing all the time, you know. They never used to make an effort at all. We were there about 3 months, and during that time, you know, it was. So don't ask what's for dinner today, because it'll be the same thing, you know.
And what was the same thing?
It was like stew. Oh, he went berserk at one time and got eggs. Well, I know the eggs were a godsend, I suppose, the series, but I'd had them day in, day out. No, he never used to go in, line up and go in. As you went in, he had a bucket with eggs in, what he'd just boiled, and they were just in. He'd got an egg or a couple of eggs. And one of these days, it just, about two of them, two or three, it only takes a couple to start it off. And they started shouting and bawling, and the cook come out like, you know, what's the matter with you? Bloody eggs. People are glad of eggs, you know, but so somebody threw one at him. And that once somebody's done it, everybody. They were all pelting him with these, like runny eggs and all, like they weren't like high, supposed to be hard boiled, but half of them, you know, that was the reason, I think, hard boiled. He just hadn't done them enough. I think he just dipped them in them. And the door which he retreated through was all spattered with eggs. Anyway, somebody sent for the orderly officer, and he came and listened to our complaints, like, you know. And he said, well, even though you might be annoyed about this, he said, you're not to do this, and he gets his books, rules and regulations, any more of this, and you'll all find yourself in the glasshouse and all this business. But the cook, he was taken off the duties, they put somebody else in, but they weren't much better. This was before the Army Catering Corps come into being, who were just more or less volunteers to go in and do it. A bit later on, when they started the Army Catering Corps, you know, getting lads in who wanted to be cooks, it was a different tale altogether then. But that was terrible. So when there was three of us who used to play football for the company team, and one of our officers, who was pally with a chap who was on the Scarborough football club team, management, and he arranged a friendly with the Scarborough team, town team, you know. And this officer, he come for us, for three of us, to go back to play football, you know. It was like getting out of prison, you know, for a week. And when he come back, he come in the OC's car and all. Ford V8, I think it was. Massive thing. And he did just about the first time I'd ever been in the car that done 100 mile an hour. He was belting along. And he had one of the lads was sat in the front, me and the other one at the back. And he was leaning over, he was saying, 80, 85. And I think this officer was getting spurred on of it. He got his foot down. He said, 90, you know, it's 100. And as soon as he got it up to the 100, or what he said was the 100, he eased off then, like, you know. And I said, oh, it's the first time I've been in the car, in the army car, anyway. Anyway, we went back to camp, and I got in with the same lads that, you know, just for the couple of nights. And then before we got out, this officer said, now I know what it's been like up there, he said, but don't go overboard tonight drinking it out, like, will you? No, 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 we won't. As soon as he'd gone, we went out. Needless to say, we got beat about 12-0 the next day, like, so it was a wasted effort. But it was all right for us, we got out, so we weren't so bad. Then back to the camp.
What date did you move from Scarborough to Hull?
What happened was that, I can't quite, it was the same year, and they decided there was a HQ company come down from Scotland to take us over. So half the company again got split up. Half went to Thetford in London, around London area. And the other half stayed in Scarborough, you know, prior to any other move. And there was all Scotch officers and senior NCOs that come, took over. Which was rather amusing the first morning, on the Sunday morning. We all lined up outside the convalescent home on the road outside, and this Scotch sergeant, he come to take the parade, and he went, and none of the English lads moved. We couldn't understand a word he said. Anyway, one of the officers, I'll take over. So he pushed him Morris up the road, and he gave the just a stamp of attention, left turn and all that. I think it was a church parade or something. But it was amusing that, because he couldn't understand, we couldn't understand a word he said. I thought this is going to be good, this with this lot. And then, we hadn't been there only about another month, and we were going to have a move. And of all the places in England, we moved back to Kirkbank. It was a different thing then, of course. The house was still there and used, but more or less used for offices and whatnot than they had erected Nissen huts. There was about three Nissen huts there for the different platoons.
Before we move back to that, you mentioned air raids. Were there any air raids in the whole area whilst you were there, and Scarborough?
Not as such. You maybe get the lone one. There were more Scarborough was. I think there was one or two. Bombs were dropped around Scalby, but not in Scarborough itself. They were more looking around for Middlesbrough and Hartlepool, places like that, ports. I mean, there was nothing.
And the time that you were at Hull, you said Hull had got a pasting. But the time that you were at Hull.
Hull, yes. There were plenty of air raids there. Yeah, but there again, they were attacking Hull and the ports there. Not where we were, they didn't drop anything around the camp, but there was one or two, this Paul Point, they were like gun emplacements out in the Humber. I've seen later on, in the years later on, where they'd gone out, you know, and they were just like a stone emplacements with guns. And so we used to take them down to the edge of the waters, and then they used to get ferried out to the gun emplacements. And they used to stay there for maybe 2 or 3 weeks at a time and then get relieved, and somebody else would go out, the artillery.
Were you still a Lance Corporal at this point in time?
No, I was a driver, still a driver.
Still a driver, you haven't got your stripe.
I haven't. It was when we got back to Kirkbank that I got the stripe.
Right, so the day you have is that you went to Hull in July of 1941. And you must have been there about a year in Hull.
I think maybe about 6 months, I think.
And then you moved back to Kirk, to the hall, sorry.
Kirkbank Hall.
Yeah. And you say you were in Nissenhuts, weren't
they? Nissenhuts, that.
A little bit better than the barns that you were in.
Oh, lovely. Sales. I mean, you had beds, three biscuits, three by all. And then we had a big stove in the middle of the hut, which we kept going. Well, when it was cold, we kept going. Had a ration of coal, you know, and we used to keep it going all right then. And all in all, it was quite good.
Did this bring about extra duties to keep your rooms clean, etc.?
Oh, well, you had the Nissen hut. You used to have a room orderly. It should take turns to do the room orderly business, which was a good little for the morning.
What duties did the orderly carry out?
Sweeping up and cleaning up. Everybody had their own little space to do keep clean. But the room orderly used to keep clean, I think we had one window in. Blacklead the stove.
Kit inspections, were there more of those?
There were the orderly officer, the orderly corporal, or whoever he was, NCO, and there was an orderly officer. And he'd come round The NCO used to open the door. Stand to attention, orderly officer. Just stand with your broom. And stand at ease. Come on. Go on, poking out with his stick, you know. Pointing out if there was anything you'd missed. Not so much you'd missed, if there was anything appertaining to the bed and whatnot. And if there was, well, the NCO used to mark it down in his book, whose bed's this and whose bed's that. Then they used to get played out with. If there's anything missing, like I said before, knife, fork and spoon all laid out, just like a proper peacetime thing it was, you know.
I know you've mentioned the stove and the heating from the stove, but were they warm billets?
They were quite... Well, they were warm... When it was not so, when it was really cold, they were all clustered round the stove, like if you had a bed round the stove on a night. They were playing cards or whatever, and it was your beds were always priority. You could never get into bed even if you wanted one, like, because they were all sat on it round the stove, you know, keep them warm. But and we had we also had then. We'd started with a nappy, and we had a nappy hut where you could go and bath. There was two nappy girls and all, the only two on the camp. And they were strictly off limits. They had their own. They used to sleep there in the hut. Used to go and get a cup of Horlicks or something like that. I think that was about the first time I'd ever had Horlicks when I got down that pivot. Something, so whatever it was, and you could get soap and stuff like that, which you had to pay for, of course. No meals as such, just little odds and sods. But I forgot about the Nuffy being there.
Did you have the Salvation Army coming onto your camp?
No, there was nothing like that. We did have a. It's supposed to be like ENSA. Well, it wasn't ENSA, but it was a local. About three men, like an accordion or something like that, coming around, giving a song. And funny enough, one of them was one of my old school teachers, the choir master at St. Augustine's, and Joe Logan. And he was one of the concert party was the word. He had this concert. He was the only one that ever come. I only ever remember one concert party coming. And the next time I saw Joe, he'd joined the Navy. It seemed funny seeing him in the forces like that. I suppose he was that age, you know.
Were you still covering the same kind of same units?
We're practically going back to the same units that were there before we left Kirkmunk. You know, they may be... Personnel had changed, but they were the same units as such, ripping. There was a North Allerton detachment. I don't know whether I've covered this. There was a workshop at North Allerton. They'd taken over half the United.
Oh, yes, you mentioned this, yes.
Yeah, well, and we were in a tennis pavilion.
Had there been any changes in officers in your unit over this period of time?
Well, like I say, the officers had come down from Scotland. There's this Major Campbell, I remember him, he was the OC. There was a Captain Gray, and I remember there was one called Captain Struthers. And I think he come from Sunderland, somewhere out there. He wasn't very popular. He just had that stern face. Bristly moustache, you know, and we had a run in with him at North Allerton. I don't know whether I've told you that one or not. Well, we were billeted in a tennis pavilion. It was a tennis ground.
This is in North Allerton.
In North Allerton, but they never played tennis on it because we took the hut over where they used to change and whatnot. And again, there was a stove in the middle of that. Anyway, there was about six of us. Got sent down there, six drivers, and there was six reps in this hut, and there was a corporal. I remember Jack Thixon, they called him. We had two Thixons. We used to call one Alf Thixon and Jack, both ex-post office. And of course, they'd had the stripes when they were in the territorials and just sort of kept them. This Jack was in charge of this in the hut. And we had beds, and it was a good billet, you know. We had the hut, the stove to keep it warm and whatnot. And we were left to ourselves. There was Jack used to just write the your work tickets out, and he knew where you were going, you know. Just, and the mob store was only about half a mile away. And in them days, there was still a piece of beef for the cookhouse. He used to get that, you know. Take it. We used to go. In theory, we were supposed to go to the workshops who had a house in away from the station down into town. There's some big houses, and the workshop detachment were billeted in one of these houses. They had like half the United for workshops. So in theory, we were supposed to go to there for our meals. But what we used to do, if we had anything we'd got from the rations, anything like bacon or eggs, anything, well, we used to fry them on our own stove, you know, in little, just, it was mostly bacon and eggs if we got any, and nothing else, because it was frowned on. This Strother, Captain Strother, that was his big hate, food in the billets. He could get away with murder with anything else, but food in the billets is. And anyway, I used to come into Darton now and again, but I was quite happy at North Allerton, these pitches, and there was a dance and whatnot, so. But this particular day, we'd been there about 2 months, I would think it'd be. And everything was going champion. And it was my turn to do the whatever there was, bacon and eggs. So by this time, it was a Sunday morning, and it was very lax. So you could have the breakfast in bed sort of style, you know. But Jack had got up, and I think he was getting friendly with one, a widow or something there, so he just disappeared on the morning, so I never... And this... I was doing the... frying the eggs and bacon on. I just happened to look out the window, and the door opened, and his Captain Strother come. That was about, you know, the length of the tennis court. Come on, get up, he's Captain Strother. Get away. Come on, I'm telling you. I emptied off what I was frying into the stove, covered it up, chucking the pans and things away out the road. And our beds were, you know, the usual thing then.